Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Bonnie North. The Ice Age National Scenic Trail is a 1,200-mile footpath that's entirely within the state of Wisconsin, although the distance it covers could take you from Milwaukee to Orlando.
Most people hike, snowshoe, or backpack through individual sections of the trail, taking in landscapes such as bluffs, lakeshores, and glacial drumlins. Only a few have ever completed the Ice Age Trail from start to finish, and even fewer have completed a through-trail run.
That exclusive list now includes Wisconsinite Annie Weiss, who this month set the record for the fastest known time to complete the trail. Weiss started in St. Croix Falls and finished less than 22 days later in Sturgeon Bay.
It was her second attempt at the record. Her first in 2017 ended after 10 days because of an infected leg. For this month's Fit For You, Weiss joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio just days after completing her record-breaking run. She starts by explaining why she did it.
We're bringing exposure to Wisconsin, to the Ice Age Trail, which is a national scenic trail. Like, it's a big trail that a lot of people know about, but there's still so many people that don't realize that it's here and that it's actually quite challenging. No, it doesn't have mountains, but it still is really, really hard to run. It's rugged. There are external factors that can really make or break your run, like mosquitoes, which sounds so silly, but there's a ton of them out there. Lots of bears, mountain lions, wolves. We have a huge population of wolves. So there's lots of external things that, you know, really play a role in the Ice Age Trail. So for me, it was really getting exposure to Wisconsin and saying, hey, Midwestern runners are really good runners. We can set records. We can do challenging things. We can be great runners as well. And so that was really where it started. And then over time, it morphed into just inspiring others to be great. You know, if I can do it, anyone can take a risk and do something.
What did you learn from your first attempt that benefited you this time around?
So back in 2007, Jason was probably using like paper maps at that point, which, I mean, if my husband would have said, here's your collection of maps for the day, go out there and run, I would have probably just stood there and cried. Like, not that I don't know how to read a map, but more so, like, that would blow my mind. Like, it's so rugged up north. There's no way you can do it. Or, I mean, you can, but it would have taken probably so much more time. So Ice Age Trail and actually all the national scenic trails, there's a app, it's called Mammoth Tracks, that GPSes your location of where you are on the trail or where maybe you are in relation to the trail if you're off course. It's phenomenal. So we used that, and that came out a few years ago. It's really helpful. We also used the Ice Age Trail guidebook. My husband knows that book, like cover to cover, inside and out. So logistically, before we started, he went through, I want to say in July or August, and it mapped out exactly where we were going to start and end each day, what made sense based on how hard those trails were, how much road was being covered that day, what town did it end in? You know, is there housing nearby, food nearby, or was it going to mean an hour drive somewhere? So just making sure logistically we were set up each day, which was different than last year. Last year, I basically told my husband, I need to do 60 miles a day, and that's how it's going to be. And so that's kind of how we approached it is, okay, 60 miles, now we end, and we've got huge dirt roads we're traveling on, no reception, trying to figure out where to go, and it's an hour drive. And it just didn't work logistically to do it that way. So we did a lot more planning this year, which seems really simple, but, you know, last year we were pretty naive. We didn't know as much as we probably should have going into it. Even though we had a lot of resources and Mammoth Tracks to help us out, we still kind of just went into it more like, oh, piece of cake, no big deal. There won't be any pain. It'll be easy. And really, it was mentally and physically a lot worse last year.
Right. And with the experience, at least getting those first few 10 days in or so, knowing how that first section of the trail is, because I imagine you wanted to plan out your tougher uphill days with shorter mileage compared to any long stretches that you know you could easily do. So, like, on average, what kind of miles a day were you aiming for?
So in the Northwoods, which would be basically from St. Croix Falls all the way to Anago before you make the turn south, we were doing 35 to 50 miles a day. Keeping it pretty simple. Like, there were days where, and my goal was by lunchtime, I want to have a 50K covered. And there were some days where we were just barely at 20 miles because the trails are just they're hard. Or tornadoes had swept through, and so a lot of the blazes were on the ground, and so you're trying to navigate a little bit more. A lot more hills. And, you know, yeah, mountain runners may say, well, it's not the mountains. There's so much more running to it. It's actually harder on your legs to have that much more running. And the hills still have a ton of roots and rocks and are challenging.
A lot to look out for.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you've got bear prints and wolf prints all over the place. So your mind kind of wanders like, okay, what's around me? What's going on? So there's a little bit of both going on there. So it was challenging up north. I made it 405 miles in, I think it was 11 days. And then the next 400 miles was covered in 5 days. So it up north, it's just more challenging. And we knew that going into it. So we planned out mileage to be less each day because it would take longer. Once we made the turn south from Antigo heading all the way to Janesville, we could cover more ground. So I had mileage in there that was more 48 to 65. I think I had an upwards day of 75 miles. And we were able to just cover more ground. There's a lot more road segments in there. So it worked out a little better that way. And then once we, you know, we're done going south and we headed north, it still continued that way. Those were all my home trails. Not that they're easier, but at least I don't have to watch for blazing all the time.
I'm curious, how many pairs of shoes did you go through?
I took with me about 12 to 15 pairs, and I rotated through about 6 to 8 pairs. I think 6 consistently with a couple others that I used and then got rid of right away. But It was about 6 that I went through consistently throughout the 21 days, which was actually much less than I thought it was going to be.
So on your average day of running, what time are you getting up and hitting the trail? And how many calories are you trying to take in throughout the day?
Yeah.
I imagine it's hard to eat as fuel when it just gets down to that. It's not for pleasure. It's just to sustain yourself.
It's not as pleasure. There's no pleasure involved, even though it might be cookies or whatever. Like, you're still like, I'm not eating this to enjoy a dessert. It was so different. So I would generally wake up. I tried to be consistent, even though I didn't have to be up at 5 a.m., depending on how close we were to the trail. So I set my alarm for 5, and then I would lay in bed till about 5:30, just thinking about, oh, I can't believe I have to do this again today. You know, like, that just is all that went through my mind. It's like, why am I doing this again? And so by 5:30, I would get up, and all I needed to do is brush my teeth, braid my hair, change into clothes, kind of wrap up my feet with Band-Aids and lotions and blister care stuff, put my shoes on, and we were out the door. Or we would go to breakfast at the Free Continental breakfast, which was great. And so it was 5 a.m., and we were starting on the trail by 6:30. So it was an early start. Ideally, I mean, I get up, and I'm running by 4 a.m. most training days. So, like, I wanted to run earlier, but when you're dealing with wolves and bears and just unfamiliar trail, I was like, let's wait for the sun to come up. Probably a little bit better. We'll go sun up to sundown, and that'll be it for the day. So we were pretty much 11 to 12 hours a day with breaks in there as well. We ended up getting all of our food from Sugar and Flour Bakery and Cafe in Greendale, Wisconsin. So a local bakery cafe, George ran with me. He runs, and they donated a bunch of food, coffee. I mean, it was bakery, ham, short ribs, pita, bread, loaves of bread. I mean, it was just anything you can think of. So we were living on that for quite a while. At night, he made a ton of soups, they were just hearty soups, which hit the spot, especially on colder days. And then I also we went to Costco, a bunch of Rice Krispie treats, fruit snacks, other just quick things I could throw in my pack. Candy corn by the end. Mm-hmm. And the last 3 days, I was on more of a McDonald's cheeseburger diet, just simply because it got to the point where it was like, I don't want to eat anymore. Like, this isn't, it just, not that I don't like food, but it's like, oh my God, I just, every hour I'm consuming 300 to 500 calories and maybe even more. And it became hard. Like, I didn't want to chew. My appetite was gone. So we were, okay, mashed potatoes from Culver's. That sounds good. You know, something that you can just get in, but it's higher calorically. I was probably eating 4,000 calories a day, and I probably needed more like 45 to 5,000. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't too far off, but it's hard to keep up with.
Even though you had the help of people with you, you are still the one who is consistently doing the whole trail throughout the day. So what trail memories do you recall being like the highs and lows, both physically and mentally? Because I imagine you had some really great days, and other days I imagine you wanted to stop.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. obviously the lows come back first. That's what I can remember first. I remember Tuesday or Wednesday of week two, I was on the trail with my friend Jason, and we had about a mile and a half to go. And I've got my hiking poles. It was a hillier area up north, and the mosquitoes were just out of control. We had some rain, and it was like that first day or two where it was just pterodactyl-sized mosquitoes everywhere by the millions. And I almost just threw my poles up on the ground, just threw them down. I don't want to do this, you know, like I hate this. And I thought to myself, okay, you're crying over mosquitoes. Like, you still have to get out of the trail. You still have to walk the mile and a half. So you might as well just stick it out. You're running and just finish up. Like, and afterwards, my back was just it was just a war zone of mosquito bites. Like, it was just awful. So, I thought to myself, like, you're crying because of mosquitoes. Like, you're ready to quit because of mosquitoes. Like, it just was so silly. But it really, they nearly drove me batty at that point.
Yeah.
So I remember that low for sure. And I remember, Brian would just kind of keep handing me food because if I didn't eat enough, that's when I got teary-eyed. He could tell when I was just probably needed some calories because it was like, oh, there's so many miles to go. I remember complaining around like, oh, there's so many miles to go. I have 20 left. And my pacer, Kevin, just kind of looked at me like, are you for real? you've made it this far, and this is the first time it was the first time I complained about the mileage left, thinking, it's 20 miles to go. And even my husband said, like, you have 11 to go. I'm like, oh, that's so far.
Yeah. You know?
It's totally perspective. A lot of highs and lows, for sure.
Yeah. What is it about trail running that you spent, 21 days doing?
So much time out there. Yeah, that's a great question. I used to road run, and it became so competitive, so much pressure. I wanted to get the Olympic qualifier and the marathon, you're just putting pressure on yourself. I fell out of love with running. At the time, my coach was like, just go on the trail. Get out there. Let's go over to Lapham Peak, do a hike, do a run, something like that. And I did that, and it was like totally revitalizing. Like, it was unbelievable. I fell in love with running, maybe not right away in that moment, but as I kept going back, it was like, wow, this is so enjoyable. Like, I look to my left and there's a lake. I look to my right and there's deer 10 feet away. And things that you probably don't notice when you're running on the parkway before you got to go to work and you're not catching everything. And it was really a mind-blowing experience when I started trail running because there's so much more out there. It was a challenge because I'm like, oh, okay, I got to run an hour, so I'll get 8 to 9 miles in because that's what I get in on the road. And it's like, no, it's much slower. So it's really coming to terms with the fact that trail running is more of a challenge. You're not going to move as fast. You might fall quite a few times. You're going to have animal and bug run-ins and stuff like that. But the other thing, too, is the community of ultra trail runners, specifically in Wisconsin, is phenomenal. Like, the support that not only I got, but just that people show in racing or in just whatever you're doing, training runs, whatever it is, like, there's something about Midwest trail runners. They're just really, really nice, kind people.
I imagine you had to retrain your brain to learn the different measures of success on the trail versus on the road and running that. So how did you learn to be kind to yourself, to not only fall back in love with running, but then also on this trail to give yourself a break because you are setting such a big goal for yourself? And it's a very much mental game when you're out there day in and day out with your thoughts to keep you company.
Yeah, no, I still struggle with it. I will say that, even when I race ultra distances, I still struggle with the, like, this 100-miler shouldn't take me 20 hours. It should take 15 hours because if I do the math, it doesn't, I should be moving faster. And you have to remind yourself you're on a trail and it's so, so, so different. So with something like this, I went into it really telling myself, like, this is not a race. This is no pressure. You are really against a clock and that's it. And really the against the clock starts on that 22nd day. So it really was actually quite easy day to day to say, okay, I covered 50 miles. We're good. We're done. We're going to recover. It made it a little bit easier because it was not a pressure race situation to really be kinder to myself. But it's a really, really hard thing to do. It's something that I have to work on daily, especially with something like this. This is not running a marathon and trying to get a Boston qualifier. This is not proving to anyone that you can run fast. It's proving that you can run over the course of 22 days to break a record. This is the tortoise over the hare kind of a thing. Like, this is longevity. This goes much further. That constant reminder really helped.
What do you want people to take away from this record-breaking run? And when you started, what did you hope to take away from it? And when you finished, was that what you imagined you'd do?
I do think those two things are the same. I wanted people to be inspired to take risks, whether that is in their running or sport, professionally. Leave your job. If you hate it, leave it. As I've started to compete more and more, I've seen so many professional runners who, they do whatever they want. They're living out of their truck or a tiny home, or they're working three jobs. Some of them have kids, and their wife or their husband is super supportive. It blows my mind how many people are very stuck. So many people came out there to run and said, wow, my wife or husband would never let me do this. Or, God, I could never leave work for that long. And it's like, who cares? You know, my husband and I both quit our jobs to do this. I could have had a leave of absence, you know, no big deal. And within a day or two of quitting our jobs, we both had offers for other jobs without even actively looking for them. You know, it was just like everything works out and falls into place. And I think the message I want people to take away from this is not to go run 1,200 miles or be the next, you know, best runner in the world, but to take a risk. Do something that makes you happy. And if that's professional or athletic or at home, just do it. Who cares? And it all works out. And so I think it's really just getting people to get a little uncomfortable, because life does work out in the end.
Annie Weiss is the current record holder for the Ice Age Trail fastest known time attempt at 21 days, 18 hours, and 7 minutes. And I am tired just saying that. You can find out more information and a link to the daily blog of her journey at WUWM.com. She spoke with Audrey Nowakowski.